This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. In this portion of the program, we continue our series of interviews about literature for children. We call it Great Books for Young Readers. My guest today is Debbie Reese. She is Assistant Professor of American Indian Studies at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Professor Reese is an enrolled member of the Nambe Pueblo tribe. An award-winning teacher, her research interests include the representation of Native Americans in children's and young adult literature, as well as in textbooks and other classroom materials. Her writings have appeared in print and online. She is the co-editor with Beverly Slapen of A Guide for Teachers and Librarians, Through Indian Eyes, the Native Experience in Books for Children. Debbie Reese joins me this afternoon to talk about quality books for children about Native Americans. Professor Reese, welcome very, very much. It's very nice to have you here in the studio this afternoon.
I'm glad to be here.
In addition to the guide that you co-edited, you suggested to us another great guide for teachers and parents interested in great books about Native Americans for young readers. The title is A Broken Flute. Correct?
Yes. Yes. Actually, I do need to make a correction. I didn't co-edit either of these books with Beverly Slapen or Doris Seal.
Oh.
That's okay. But I have collaborated extensively with them on the
okay.
works that are inside the book.
Okay.
Through Indian Eyes and A Broken Flute are both the gold standard for teachers and librarians and parents who are interested in finding good books about American Indians for their children.
Okay.
The volumes are packed with all kinds of writings, from poems to essays to book reviews.
Yeah.
Reviews of books that are not good, as well as books that are definitely worth reading.
Yeah, and apparently there is quite a bit of material out there that's not so good or bad.
Right, right. There's far more problematic material out there than there is things that I would hand to my daughter or that a Native parent could hand to their child. Without any concern for stereotypes or bias in the material that's in the book.
Okay. You want to give us some sense of the material that's out there that's disheartening?
Well, it's a question of where do you start. There is so much. One thing is there is a sense in the country that there is only one kind of Indian, and they all wore feathered headdresses and fringed buckskin, and they all lived in teepees, and they all rode horses and hunted buffalo. That's actually a stereotype. That is something like what we now recognize as the Plains Indian culture, but it certainly doesn't represent all of American Indian peoples across the continent. And sadly, most people don't know that.
Mm. Over time, has there been a decrease in inaccurate representations of Native Americans, past and present?
I think there has been an increase of good material, but not a decrease in the bad. It certainly is the case that you and I, middle-aged adults perhaps, grew up with things like Little House on the Prairie, and developed a fondness for that book. And so when parents go to the bookstore and they buy Little House on the Prairie,
mm-hmm.
and it's filled with racist representations of American Indians. It is also the case that if you were to pull that book off the shelf now as an adult and read it, you would be surprised at those racist depictions and that you didn't notice them before.
Yeah. Well, how can we develop a more critical eye, some better sensitivity to what's in books for children?
Well, I think that there's a number of things that parents can do and teachers and librarians. One is stop using the generic Indian or American Indian or Native American. Be specific. If you're trying to teach something, some lesson to children, and you're involving Native content in some way, just who are you talking about? In Illinois, teachers here ought to be thinking about, okay, who were the Native people that were here prior to the times when they were forcibly moved out mm-hmm. of the state of Illinois? Talk about that group. Talk about the Native people in Chicago, because Chicago is one of the largest metropolitan areas that have Native people. What are they doing there? How did they get there? The answer I can tell you is they got there from a government program that moved them off the reservation after having moved them on to the reservation. The history is rich, and a lot of that history is available in children's books if you look for them.
Okay, so tribe-specific.
Right, tribally specific. I think perhaps the most important idea to get across is we didn't vanish. We are still very much a vibrant culture with our traditions and our ways of being very much intact and growing stronger, in fact, as our numbers grow stronger. Too many people think we did all vanish, and that is in large part due to the kinds of things that we learn in school. Mm. Thanksgiving is when we teach about American Indians, and we all know as a society that those pilgrims somehow morphed into the Americans of today, but what happened to those Indian people?
Yeah.
Those Wampanoags, they're still there too, but they just drop out from the storyline.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, that holiday is coming up, and so we're going to be bombarded with images of Native Americans and pilgrims and that kind of thing. How might teachers and parents guide children in terms of the stereotypical images and stories that are associated with Thanksgiving?
Well, I think that what early childhood teachers know, but some too many forget, is that when you're working with young children, you do the here and now instruction. And they instead turn to this very old mythological story about the pilgrims and Indians. Best practice, research-based best practices, teach them about what is here now. So for an early childhood classroom, instead of a pilgrim and Indian reenactment, what they ought to do is think about what are you, what is in your community, and what are you thankful for in your community. So that's Urbana Free Library in this community, places like that. So keeping it very concrete for early childhood classrooms is essential. And then again, asking the question, where are the people that were here? These are the Ho-Chunk, and they are in Wisconsin. That's only one of the tribes that were here. But they are a thriving community, and children can understand that. They're not here now. They were here once. They didn't vanish and go away. So for Thanksgiving, it's trying to get children to get teachers to stop doing this mythical story about how wonderful the pilgrims and Indians got along, and trying to be more honest in what they're teaching.
Yeah. Well, you've brought with you some examples of books that you think folks might enjoy and would be worth looking for. You want to take a title or two and describe them for us?
Sure. I actually have an internet blog that is the primary method that I'm using at present to reach parents and teachers and librarians. It is really doing well. I have over 160,000 page hits since I started last year. And those are parents and teachers and librarians actually looking for better material. About a month ago, I talked about this book. It's called Do All Indians Live in Teepees? That's the kind of question that kids ask. Do all Indians live in teepees? Mm-hmm. Well, through this book, you can find out. This is actually produced by the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian. And it is filled with page after page after of questions. Why do some people think Indians do not laugh or smile? What happened to white people captured by Indians? It's page after page of that kind of material, and a teacher would do very well picking that up and using that to develop their lessons. So that's kind of a teacher resource. I have here in my hand a board book. These are the books that are used primarily for early childhood classrooms, for little kids who mm-hmm. have a need for things that are easy to manipulate. This is called Bush Hu, Come Play With Us. It is a book with the Ojibwe language in it. The pictures are of Ojibwe children in a Head Start classroom, playing with a ball, riding on a slide, doing the things that all kids do in their preschool classrooms. What a teacher can do with this is say, look, here are some Ojibwe children. And here, look, at this one is playing a drum, and this one's playing with a ball, just like you do. And this is the way they say hello. They can show mm-hmm. the print in the book that is a different language than English. So that one has value for anyone. An adult could use that. And it is a charming book just to hold in your hand and look at those Ojibwe children. A third book I have is called Home to Medicine Mountain, and it is about, I mentioned earlier this idea of the federal government moving Native people here and there. One of the things that they did was create federal boarding schools through which Native children were taken from their families, forcibly taken from their families to these schools so they could be turned into good Americans. The slogan for those schools was kill the Indian and save the man. Native children ran away from those schools. They weren't happy there. Native children died there. Their parents didn't know they had died till many months had passed. But anyway, that's an important story to our people, whether we're talking about Pueblo Indian people in New Mexico or mm-hmm. people in other parts of the country. The one I have here is Home to Medicine Mountain. It's by Judith Lowry, and it is the story of her father and grandfather, and that they missed home, and they ran away from their boarding school, got on the rooftop of a boxcar, and made their way home. And it's that story and how they felt at the school and how they missed their families. This is a wonderful book for that. It does introduce to children a topic that is important to American history, but that just is never taught. It's not well known.
Okay, very good. And you've got one more?
And I have one more. This is called Coyote Christmas, A Lakota Story. And I literally just got this out of its mailer. I just got it, 2 hours ago. So I haven't read it. But as I look at it, this is what a teacher can do. Any teacher can do this. You pick up a book and you look at it. And the first thing I do is look to see if it's tribally specific. And it is. This is A Lakota Story. I'm curious about the author, the illustrator for the book. This is S.D. Nelson. And because I know this literature, I know who he is. Uh-huh. He is actually a Lakota person. And he has more than one book that has come out. One is called The Star People and another one's called Gift Horse. So I know that this is something produced by a Native person, so it has a Native perspective in it. And because I know his prior books, I think this is going to be a winner. The other thing I do is look through it and to see what kind of material is in here, because I mentioned that it's important that kids know we're still here. And this is a modern-day story. This isn't teepees and on the plains of a long time ago. This is a Christmas tree. It's called Coyote Christmas. There's a Christmas tree with electric lights. This house has carpet on the floor. It's a modern-day house. It's a kind of story that I think children really need to have.
Yeah, sometimes I think we rely on books that have been award winners.
Right.
Is that a good bet, or is there an award for Native American books, for Native American authors?
There are two new awards. The classic awards, the Newbery and the Caldecott Awards, the committees often don't have the insight to ferret out the problems that are in those books, because we all grew up in the same society with the same kind of instruction, so we all come out not able to recognize stereotypes.
So the
committees, though, I think they're able to select well-written books. If you look at the socio-political and the socio-cultural content in them, some of them fall pretty far down, on at least on my list. Little House on the Prairie is one of those. Sign of the Beaver is another one. Books that tell a good story if you pay no attention to the way they're talking about Native people.
Okay, so maybe talk with a librarian. Go to your blog. Now on your blog, do you have a list of recommended titles?
Absolutely. On my blog is all about trying to help people gain the kind of insight that I have into selection of books. It includes recommended children's books and teacher resources. It has links to websites and blogs that Native writers have. So I think that's a nice thing. One thing I think the Internet does offer to us all right now is the opportunity to find things that we couldn't find before. Native tribes have their own websites. We don't have to rely on an outsider's perspective anymore, because you can go right to a tribe's website and see how they tell their history. Do the people who were on, who Lewis and Clark met, talk about Lewis and Clark? Not really. They talk about their own people. And we get all excited as Americans about Lewis and Clark, but, from their perspective, it's a completely different thing.
Okay. We will put a link to your blog on our website, both at WILL.illinois.edu and at our special website for kids, willkids.org. And we'll also have some of the books that you talked about here this afternoon on that spot, willkids.org. And let's mention again, and again, forgive me for the error that I made
at
the outset, but those two guides are very good. It's Doris Seal and Beverly Slapen, and they are the editors of Through Indian Eyes and A Broken Flute.
Yes, and if I could say, there is an American Indian Library Association award for children's books.
Okay.
That's also on my blog.
Okay.
And I could say hi to my family and my daughter. They're listening, some on the reservation and some at Yale University.
Okay, very good. Debbie Reese, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Professor Reese is an assistant professor of American Studies at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.